Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah bak kumand, Rabbi zidni ilma. My Rabb, increase me in knowledge. Perhaps from the things that are to be acquired, the only thing that Allah Ta'ala asks for increase is dhikr, shukr, ilm. Three things he asks and he commands and asks for that in increase. Zikr, shukr, and ilm. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu zkurullaha zikran kathira. So there must be something in this ilm that we are asked to ask for increase. We are commanded to ask for increase. Now, the first thing is we need to know that what is ilm. Because presently it happens that everybody has got his own understanding of things. I got my understanding, you got your understanding, and everybody has got his own independent understanding. So, when Allah Ta'ala commands that ask for increase, then what is ilm? It mustn't be that we are searching for something and then we stand before Allah Ta'ala and he says you'll be running after the wrong thing. So in the words of Allah Ta'ala or his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if there is an idea what is meant by ilm, then we know what to chase, what to run after. So the ilm that Allah Ta'ala speaks about is the ilm that will bring you closer to Allah Ta'ala. In the words of Hazrat Shaykh Sa'di rahmatullah alayhi. In the words of the Quran Sharif, innama yakhsha Allaha min ibadihi al-ulama. That ilm that will create Allah awareness. You begin to know who's Allah Ta'ala. You begin to know Allah Ta'ala and you begin to know His greatness, His majesty. So that is the ilm that Allah Ta'ala is asking you to ask for. That ilm, that knowledge, that you will recognize Allah Ta'ala and you will gain His proximity. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Bani Israel and what they were supposed to be searching for. What they went for was something else. What they pursued and what they tried for was something else. But they were supposed to look for something else. They also went behind some type of knowledge, right? But that knowledge didn't do them any good. So the knowledge that does good is that knowledge that brings you close to Allah Ta'ala. It is going to be helpful in the hereafter and helpful for all the matters pertaining to after death. That is the real ilm that is supposed to be sorted for. Though that knowledge that you will acquire, even if it is meant for the hereafter, but it makes you, it gives you a level of enjoyment in this world as well. It is meant for the hereafter, but it gives you a level of satisfaction in this world. فَلَنُحْيَنَّوْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. This world also you get some satisfaction, some happiness. So overall, the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala commands that we should be acquiring is the knowledge that will give you the understanding of Allah Ta'ala and will bring you about the comfort of the hereafter. That's what He wants. The other knowledges you will not say is not knowledge, but that is not going to bring you closer to Allah Ta'ala, is not going to bring you any type of improvement in the hereafter. So it's a knowledge just for a better lifestyle, a better worldly life, transitory life. But that real knowledge that Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallam speaking about, that this is the virtue and this is the excellence, etc., is a knowledge that pertains to the hereafter. Like the hadith says, that you seek knowledge, the person that seeks knowledge, then the malaika are lowering their wings for him. Then land, sea and air, all is making dua for him. Malaika and birds fish in the earth, fish in the sea, and even the animals on earth, they are making dua for that person. So, what a great and noble thing this person is doing, that land, air and sea is engaged in making dua for this person here. Do you hear now that some person is so great that the land is making dua, the earth is making dua, the sea is making dua for that person? Do you ever hear that? Then do you ever hear that everything in this world is subject to curse? But what is void and what is freed from this curse is the one that has got the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, or he is desirous to learn, or he wants to be associated with that class of people. So either the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, right, or learning that knowledge, or being friendly with that group of people. If you can't learn it, then be free, be friendly with them, be close to them, be attached to them, so at least some of the color rubs onto you. All can't be expert alims, qurra, hafiz, etc. All can't be. But yes, we can learn, and we can be friendly to the class that is learning. Right? So the class that is freed and void of this curse is the class that learns, or have already learned, or the one that is supportive. He's supportive, he's good towards them, this is his ambition in life, this is his goal in life, that I need to be with this group. Either like soccer, you play soccer, or you view soccer. Right? You see, you're part of this. You are in the soccer, you're viewing it, or you're supportive. And you're not, they say, you don't belong to our circle. So Allah Ta'ala says, then you want to belong to my choice circle, then this is how you're going to be, that you either in it, or you are pursuing it, or you're supporting it. You're in it, or you're acquiring it, or you're supporting it. One of the three. But if you're not supporting it, you're not acquiring it, and you aren't there, then you're not in our circle. You're out of the circle. Then we are asking Allah Ta'ala for knowledge, right? What knowledge are we supposed to be asking? One is to understand that knowledge that Allah Ta'ala commands, and then the hadith will explain that knowledge. So the hadith says, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafiya. Allah Ta'ala, grant me knowledge that is beneficial. And the knowledge that is not beneficial, wa'uzu bika min ilmin la yanfa. The knowledge that is not beneficial, Allah Ta'ala, I want protection out of it. Because you can run some after something, and at the end realize that this was no benefit. I got to know what's happening in this country and that country. I was abreast with all the news. I was informed, well informed. But really, I didn't need that information. So I need that information that is going to be of benefit to me, beneficial knowledge. And the knowledge that is not beneficial, Allah Ta'ala, keep me away from it. Because information sometimes is so lucrative, so attractive, that it's going to go more and more into it. But then after that, after some time, you discover that I didn't get really out of it. You learned about, for example, reproduction of animals and all that, right? You learned a lot of it. But at the end, what you get, what out of it? You learned, alright, Argentina, this is the level of cattle farming in Argentina every year. What did you get out of it? Your deen, did it improve? Dunya improved? Akhirat improved? No improvement. So the knowledge that is not beneficial, I want my refuge from it. Many a times people don't understand what knowledge we're supposed to be pursuing and running after. So they ask the wrong things. So what was the length and the breadth and the height of the ark of Nuh alayhi salam? How is it going to help you? If you know about it, how is it going to help you? And if you don't know about it, how is it going to hurt you? Yes, what was the lesson in this whole story? That is what you're supposed to be acquiring. If it was a lesson, the Quran would have spoken about it, the Hadith would have spoken about it. The Quran doesn't speak about it, the Hadith doesn't speak about it, then why are you chasing? So the knowledge that is going to be benefit, going to be beneficial. And the knowledge that is not going to be beneficial, then keep away. Many a times it happens that you ask these type of questions, and the things that are really required, that you don't know. Right? Someone is asking now, you know, the day I reach moon now, which side I must read namaz? How must I make wuzu? But I want to ask you, how many qazas you've got still? Qaza umris. And do you recite the Quran Sharif with tajweed? But you haven't got this basics, right? And you're asking about the asman ki baatein pooch rahe hai, aur zameen ki baatein se nimta nahi. Like you're asking, well, you know, if I become a multi-trillionaire, then what zakat I must give, and who must give? How much you earning? 1,000 rand a week. But you're still scratching the surface, and you know, you don't know about those things. So you should be asking, inquiring, but at your level, not beyond your level. You must ask, inquire, but remain, understand you've got a level, speak from within your level, speak at the level you are, then you won't go wrong. Right. So one is knowledge, what you're supposed to be acquiring, what you're supposed to be seeking refuge from. Right. Now for this beneficial knowledge, what do you get in the end? The benefits are tremendous. One is the land, the sea, and the air is making dua for you. The birds, animals, fish, everything is making dua. Malaika, everybody is happy with you. Right. So the whole universe is for you. Allah is for you, the universe is for you, the malaika are with you, the animals that are sinless, they are with everybody supportive of what you're doing. So that is a merit on its own. But apart from that, the person's excellence has learnt about Allah Ta'ala, then he is like Nabi Sassam on one side, and then we are non-entities, right? Is there any comparison? No comparison. So, kamasali ala adnakum, kafadli ala adnakum. So, can you imagine now how great is this knowledge that Nabi Sam is comparing himself against the people that are lowest? Is there any comparison? Like, no comparison. As you compare the star, the moon against the star, the sun against the star. Any comparison? No comparison. Now, in any knowledge that we acquire, alright, one is the hadith that we learned, and then those that had excelled in this, then it's nice to also speak about those people that excelled. So, we have an understanding, and there is a role model. When there's a role model, then there's something to run after. So one is the people that excelled in this line, let's speak about them. So we know, alright, this is the thing that we need to chase. You talk about cricket, then there's a role model. Soccer, then there's a role model. You talk of any other science, then there's a role model. There's someone before you. So you know, or if there's a person that excelled in this field, I must go behind him. That's how you feel. In business, someone excelled, let's go behind him. Right? So those that had excelled in whichever science, then go and see their lives. So you belong now to a divine circle, the circle of Allah Ta'ala. Right? Ahlul Quran, whom Ahlullah, the people of the Quran Sharif, they are the household of Allah Ta'ala. Right. So, as though you belong now to the household of Allah Ta'ala, whom khasatu, special elite class, household of Allah Ta'ala, and the elite class. So, the one thing is that either we become of the class, or we are acquiring, or we are searching for that, or at least we are supportive of that. Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh, he passed away, and they asked him, well, how was it, how did it fare with you? So he says, I don't know anything. I was looking for one masla, about something about slavery and how to free slaves, right? And the next moment I saw myself in Jannat already. I was so engrossed, I didn't know what was going on, nothing. Right? I was so oblivious of everything else that I was posted to Jannah, then I came to my senses. So I inquired, but you know, I heard that there was a process, you pass away, Malak al-Maut comes and takes you away, and then you get, Kiram al-Katibin or Munkar al-Nakir coming and asking you in the grave, right? You get this whole process that you have to follow, and then you go into Jannah, right? But yeah, I didn't follow the procedure, I went just straight to Jannah. How this happened? Isn't that a luck? No procedure, you went straight, flying into Jannah. How nice you're going to feel. Imagine you came to the airport, No procedure, no immigration, nothing. They put on a red carpet straight to the first class. How do you feel? Don't you feel nice? So no procedures, no immigrations, no customs, no duties, straight. So he says, no, I was searching for a masla, and the next moment I saw my sadhana. So I inquired, you know, that I heard that you have to follow a whole procedure, death, then you get munkar nakir and all that. Then eventually, after the cross-examination, then you enter. But there was no examination. I went straight. So I was informed, I was told that, O Muhammad, had we wanted to punish you, we would have honored you with our ilm. We blessed you with our ilm. Therefore, we allowed you to bypass the whole process. So because we wanted to honor you, so we allowed you to bypass. We honored you with our ilm, and therefore we allowed you to bypass the whole thing. Now, that is his passing away, right? But then what was his life? Right? There was something in his life that brought him to this end. Sometimes we feel just an apparel, you know, wearing a cloth or having a title is sufficient. But Allah Ta'ala, the title is not sufficient. See, when we go off now, we think I've got a title. And the title will make me entitled. Titled will make me entitled. No. The title doesn't make you entitled. You know, there were two people that were about to enter into a fight. So the one person is saying, hey, just hold on, let me get my black belt. So the black belt is not going to do the fight. It's you that's going to do the fight. We want to see you. We don't want to see the black belt. We want to see what you can do. Now, we feel that the title will give you that. You will become eligible, you will become entitled because of the title. She is telling him, he for the black belt will do the fight. The black belt is not going to do the fight. You have to work. The title is not going to do the work. You have to work after that. When you work, Allah Ta'ala will elevate you. So this is what happens many a times. You feel, I got the title, Hafiz, Qari Sahib, Ulana Sahib, and I am entitled. Now it's hard work that goes after that. What work are you doing? That work, that is the thing that will promote you. Someone is seeing in the dream that Nabi Sam is waiting. So he asks, Ya Rasulullah, and who are you waiting for? I'm waiting for the Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So who is there to receive him? Nabi Sam is there to receive him. Right? You see that? He's also coming to the end, but at the end, what a beautiful end. Alright, everybody goes through some difficulty, but what a beautiful end that Nabi Sam in person is coming to receive Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Right? Now, that end nobody can bypass. Nobody can say, I can avoid that. You'll have to go that way. But when you have to go that way, then why don't make that trip enjoyable? Yes, if there was an alternate route, you know, there was an alternate substitute, go somewhere else. There was something to think about. But there is no other recourse. It is just this one line that you have to take. So when you have to take this line, make the best of it. Now I'm going to do some dieting, and I'm going to do some jogging, some exercising. You'll do everything, maybe you'll have a little bit better quality of life, but with all the better quality of life, you'll still have to reach that end. You're not going to extend your life. Maybe a little bit of quality will be improved. You're not going to extend, and you're not going to avoid that end. That end will come, and you're not going to make an extension to it. So the right thing is make this thing enjoyable. So now we talk of Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi and such an enviable death, right? He doesn't even know, and he is flying into Jannah one shot, right? But now there was hard work that went into it. Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi used to be standing the whole night looking into kitabs, right? This masla, this situation, that situation, this emergency, this thing has taken place now. He's looking for solutions. Right? So someone asked Imam Muhammad rahmatullah, but why don't you have a good sleep? He says, the whole world is sleeping, trusting Muhammad, that if we have a problem, Muhammad will find a solution. But if Muhammad himself goes to sleep, then you got a security, right, to look after the whole block, right? So you have a good night's sleep. Why? Because there's a security, there's an alarm system. But if the security and the alarm system went to sleep, then that whole block will enjoy their sleep. Everybody is in ghabrat. Everybody is in fikr. So Imam Muhammad Ramadan used to say that I am working so that everybody can enjoy their sleep. If they've got a problem, they know there's someone to refer to. So that ilm will bring you to the level of responsibility, answerability. I've got that ilm, I've got something that they don't have. When I've got something that they don't have, then I'm answerable, I'm responsible. To see to any of their needs, any of their hajjahs, any zarurat, I am there to provide for it. At an elementary level, at an advanced level, at the level of life, at the level of death, but at any level, anybody got any need, and I'm there to make it available for them. Now this ilm then has got certain protocols, certain procedures, certain ways. We talk about ilm, or the thing that comes into our minds, to go back to our madrasa, which are learning alif, ba, ta, sa. For every level, there is a different package. Every level can require, but it's a different package. Look at a situation. You got Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, right? So now, he's showing a practice, practically how we can progress, right? He's heard about something that is called Qiyamul Layl, Tahajjud Namaz, right? He's heard about it. And he's young, 13, 14, every child wants some excitement, some entertainment. He wants something to entertain himself, right? Now that environment of Madina Munawwara is gone such that at young age, he wants to know how does the Nabi do his Tahajjud Namaz. He's also exciting, he's also got stamina, he's also got energy, but now the whole Madina Munawwara is covered with piety, righteousness, blessings. At a young age, he wants to know now, how does Nabi perform his Tahajjud? See this talab, right? This is the thing that we need today. So the talab was created in him. When the talab was created, there was fire. Now that fire wants to move. There's fire in the engine, so it wants to move. It's fired up. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that the jihad of this zamana, of this age, the jihad is to create the talab in the heart. Because the hearts don't have the talab for righteousness, for virtue, for excelling. And obviously you can only excel if you know how to excel. Right? You're doing business, but you know how to excel, then you can excel. But you don't know how to excel, how are you going to excel? So you want to get to Jannah, you want the proximity, there's going to be a way. So when there's a way, you have to acquire the way, then you'll get there. So the thirst, the yearning to get there, this is what is required, the yearning to get there. And this is what I'm saying, because these people had their finger on the pulse. They know what's the problem of Ummah. When they know what's the problem of Ummah, they will show it to us out of the compassion and love. They will show, alright, this is your problem, this is what you need to do. So he said, no, what is needed, what is the greatest jihad? The greatest jihad is to create the yearning. If you got the yearning, you're going to move, you're going to search for it. But if you don't have the yearning, let's talk about it. You'll make big, you'll shout, you'll have slogans, you make big advertisements, all that. But when it comes to real work, what work is required, you will be zero in that. So now, to get there, then what is the plan? So learn the plan that you can get there, right? He's young. The boss, the Alma, is young. I say, my Ilyas Sahib Rahman is saying, what is he saying? That the greatest jihad is to create a yearning. And the yearning will do miracles. Some few months back ago in Durban, there was a donut shop opening up. Something unique now, something different. So all the advertisement had gone out. the first person that comes in gets so many thousand rands and so many dozens of donuts delivered to him every week. Oh, a big advertisement going on. So anyway, the person that came out first in the competition, he had to wait in the line from approximately 4 o'clock in the afternoon till the next day about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock when the shop opened up. See, just count down. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's 8, it's 8 hours till about 9 hours. 8 and 9, 17 hours he waited just to become eligible. So you may say that the dough drove him nuts. When you say that, the dough drove him nuts. Hey, let's put a little bit of dough at what this guy, what this person did. Right? But when there was that talab in him, the talab made him wait there from 4 o'clock till 9 o'clock the next morning, and the shop opened that he is the first person, so he's eligible to the prize. So we don't know the prize, or either we know the prize, but we don't have the full understanding of the prize. We know the prize, but we don't have the full understanding. If you have the full understanding, where you work, you know the price of your health, right? Don't you know the price of your health? So for securing and maintaining your health, won't you put any price, a million rand, 5 million rand, or get my health right? Won't you say that? Because you know the value of your health. To maintain your health, whatever you need to spend, you spend. But you know what's the price. So, by the same token, if you know what is deen, what is ilm, then to spend, to work, to struggle, you will do it. But you don't understand it. You have heard it, and you say, no, it is the truth, but I don't have the full level of conviction. Until you have the full level of conviction, then you won't strive. So, Ibn Abbas ibn Yarma, he wants to know about the tahajjud of Nabi Sassan. Now see that talab, it creates an avenue for you. The talab in itself, it creates an avenue. Now he's thinking to himself, now what must I do? I need to get there, but how do I get there? So he understands that Nabi Sassan's respected family, one of the respected family's name is Maymuna. And Maymuna is my khala, my mother's sister. So I can go there and see for myself first hand, not second hand. I want to go and see first hand. See, young boy, he's also adventurous, exciting, he has to go, a lot of things in his mind, but I need to get this thing right. So the talab makes you do everything. See, the talab to go to the moon, what it made man do, huh? Yet they came back only with stone, nothing else. They didn't come back with anything that was significant. But the talab to go there made them do stupid things. Billions of rands of the taxpayer, they spent and they blasted that money just to bring back stones. But the talab, what it made them do? So the talab, what it won't make you do? Just to see one stupid cricket match, you can spend 50, 60,000 rand. Go to another country, book into a hotel, go and watch that match and come back. What you got out of it? Did you get anything out of it? Any deen, any dunya, any akhirat, nothing. Just there, I saw some match, he scored some goals, and then what? What did you get out of it? Absolutely nothing. But you see, the talab had been created, there was you were ignited for the wrong things. When you were ignited for the wrong things, then the whole body worked, money was spent, thousands were spent, just to satisfy the talab of yours. So the talab has to be directed into the right things. When the talab is directed into the right things, then you will struggle also, but for the right causes, for the right reasons. Now he's spending the night here to go and see firsthand what Nabi Sam is doing, how does he get up for his tahajjud. So Nabi Sam and his respected wife, Maymuna Rabi Alam, is on the one side and he's resting on the other end. And he says, step by step, I am watching. I came to learn. And I came to learn, I didn't come to sleep. So I must see step by step, what's happening, what happens. So Nabi Sam gets up, Then he recites the last verses of Surah Al-Imran, right? Inna fi khalqi samawati. Made his wuzu, and I followed him now. I made my wuzu, and I'm with him. So when I'm with him now, so I stood incorrectly. I stood on the left side. So Nabi Sam turned me around onto the right side. See. Now that brings us to the point that for us to understand knowledge and get the very feeling of knowledge, the spirit of knowledge, the people that I acknowledge will have to be around them. Because every now and then there's a new development. Right? There's a new development, you need to see first and what's happening. So I didn't know about this, that if you are performing namaz, just two people performing namaz, then on which side of the imam are you supposed to be standing? Now there's a new development, I saw it myself, the wisdom corrected me, I got it right. So many things I discovered on this night here. One is what to recite when you get up, then making wuzu, thereafter how to stand if you are just one person behind the imam. All learnt and discovered in one night. There's a solar eclipse. Some youngsters are practicing archery, right? Hey, we need to go straight to the masjid and see now this solar eclipse. What consequences are going to come up because of this solar eclipse? What are going to be the consequences? What's going to happen? What will Nabi Sam do? We went straight to the masjid. We saw what Nabi Sam was doing. Lengthy rakats. And perhaps approximately one rakat was still about Surah Baqarah, about 2.5 siparas, so long rakats. And then how he was doing the ruku, and how was he doing the sajda, and what dua he was doing, what announcements he was making. A whole chapter now is being introduced. But then all the blessings and all the merit is for those people that took the pains and preserved that thing. They were seen firsthand, under the circumstance, what does Nabi Sam do? How does he do it? They need a chapter of this, a whole discussion, how is this namaz that is read at the solar eclipse, how it is done. We also have got talab, right? We have also got talab. But look at our talab. If we hear now, that in Johannesburg they say they're selling one burger, one of its kind. It's something that you never taste. You must go there, personally taste it first. How many of us won't spend that 2,000 rand, 3,000 rand just to go there, just to taste that? So we also got talab, they also had talab. Their talab was for something else, and our talab is for something else. See, their talab is something else. So that is why the hadith is saying that this group of people are the people of Allah Ta'ala. See, khasatullah. Ahlullah wa khasatu. They are the special, they're the elite. They are looking for that. Come from Allah Ta'ala, that knowledge, that understanding. Right? So the talab is directed accordingly. You will not say that Sahaba Kiram didn't have temptation like we had. They had. They were men like us, right? But they guided their temptations to the right directions. Now the second point in ilm is that you need the company of those type of ulama that can pass on. They are righteous themselves and they are willing to pass on. They are righteous themselves and they are willing to pass on. So they would train you. But like I say, every now and then there's a new development. Something new that is coming up. When there's something new that is coming up, you need to understand it firsthand. Right. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi is shaving his armpit, right? So his student is watching this whole scenario where he's shaving the armpit. Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi is shaving. And the word that is used in the hadith is nitful ibit, to pluck out the hair of the armpit. Now the student is watching, and he's watching a little bit with curiosity. When the hadith is saying to pluck the hair out, then why is the imam shaving off the hair? Imam Shafi Rahmatullah explains to the student that is the right thing, that the hair should be shaved off. But what happened when I was young, I used a shaver. And when I used a shaver, then the roots became strong. Now that the roots became strong, now to pluck it out would be an effort. So I'm forced to use the shaver. But now see the student, he is alert, he's watching what my ustad is doing and what I'm supposed to be doing. See that? He's alert. My work is only to do khidmat, put his shoes right, carry his shoes from one point to the other. Do the khidmat. But the more important thing is that your stay and your duration with the ustad will be short. So observe him, every act of his, what he's doing, how will he do it. On the side of the ustad, he cannot say, do what I tell you to do, don't do what I do. You can't say that. You can't say, don't do what I do, but do what I tell you to do. Otherwise, Imam Shafi would have given the same answer to the student, you know, you must do what I tell you, not what I do. Imam Shafi himself considered himself to be answerable. I am reliable, I am answerable, I am responsible. When I'm responsible, then I need to give the right direction. Now, it's a problem I've got, I can't manage this, so I need to make it known to the student that I can't manage this. Ibn Abbas, he is preparing for ghusl. So when you're preparing for ghusl, you first wash your hands. And the reason is obvious. See, when your hands are washed clean, and then you're going to be scooping out the water, so the water doesn't get polluted. Now, in the old days, using a bucket or a tub, right? But if the hand is polluted, then the water is polluted. But if the hand is washed clean, then the water that is scooping out will also be clean. See how the hadith in the Quran Sharif is purely natural. It's logical, it's purely natural. But we don't take the time. Yes, for that burger, we take out the time. This type of cuisine, that type of book, and that type of Indian delights we need to get it right. And there, if you didn't get it right, it'll bring the whole roof down, right? So, Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, I showed Imam Shafi, rahmatullah, Ibn Abbas, is having a ghusl. And before ghusl, you have to wash your hands, right? So now he's testing out his student. And how many times did I wash my hand? So he's finding out, seeing now that the student is paying attention. You see, class control. It's not like a university environment, you doing your thing and the student are doing their own thing. He is watching the student, right? This is my student. I am answerable. I am responsible of him. So he's testing him out. And how many times did I wash my hand? So the student says, no, I don't know. Now, the boss is upset at this. It says, Lauma laka. Mama manaka an la tadri. What's your problem? What's your problem? Why don't you know? You're supposed to be observing what I'm doing. You're supposed to be watching what I'm doing. So the student must see all that the ustad is doing, senior. And the senior must consider himself to be reliable and responsible, that everything must be conformity with the sunnah. His ruku, his sajda, his qiyam, his qirat, his tasbihat, his takbirat, everything needs to see that there is total conformity. When there is total conformity, now it builds up the confidence of the student that this ustad of mine, this teacher of mine, if you want to see the sunnah alive, then see my ustad. You want to see anything alive, you see the practical dimension of the sunnah, then look at my ustad, you'll find it. So the ustad is answerable, the student is alert, and what a beautiful environment to be in, when the ustad also feels himself to be reliable and responsible, and the student also feels himself to be responsible and alert. So isn't that a beautiful environment? Where the student is being casual, ustad is casual, nobody is concerned, how you came into the masjid, how you left the masjid, how are you doing your postures, how aren't you doing your postures, are you performing the namaz right, are you performing it at time, on time or out of time, how are you doing it? Nobody is concerned about each other. Will you get a proper Islamic structure? So you need to have that concern. See that? Because now that student is going to be the representative of the ustad, wherever he's going somewhere else. He's going to be somewhere else, Zululand or Basutuland, wherever he's going, right? But he is going to be the reflection of the ustad. So if he is right, then the whole place that he is going to, they are going to be right. But if the student is wrong, then he is the wrong representation. He's taken the wrong message across. So he's going to represent you, but incorrectly. So you're not going to get the right type of delivery there. But then the wrong type of delivery was because of the student and partly because of the ustad. The ustad needs to be alert and consider himself to be responsible, and then the student also needs to consider himself to be responsible. So you saw what was ilm, right? What is the definition of ilm? And what was the ilm that is supposed to be acquired, that is ilm nafi? And what was the ilm that you're supposed to be avoiding, that is not beneficial? Then you understood what was the virtue of ilm. Then in that ilm, what is required? How is supposed to be behaving? How is supposed to be behaving, right? Now, in the process, you're going to have situations where someone is going to make a mistake. That he's reciting or he's doing something and he's doing it incorrectly. He's a student, he's learning, he's under guidance. You can't say from the first day he's going to be perfect. He's going to make mistakes, he's going to stumble. Some inaccuracy is going to take place. Some irregularity is going to take place. Now, how you correct? How you correct? One, number two is how you're going to receive the correction. So there's two things. One is how you're going to be correcting. And number two is how are you going to receive the correction. Right? Nabi Sam is entering the Mubarak house, right? As he's entering the Mubarak house, and there is a feeling of disapproval. He's disapproved of something. Aisha radiallahu anha, her relationship with Nabi Sam is very, very strong. Very strong. If there was something that Nabi Sam was dissatisfied with, she will make it out straight away. From his Mubarak face, she will make it out. See now, the relationship that the wife needs to have with the husband, or the student needs to have with the teacher. She's a wife and she's a student as well. She's the wife to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then she is the student as well. In fact, the best of the students amongst the women, best of the students. The greatest of reporters from amongst the women, right? So, there must be a reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked her so much, because of her understanding, because of her potential, and because how well she was grasping the concepts. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi understands that this woman here is a very great asset. So he will value her accordingly. You get masail of all types, right? Masail that are domestic, that are personal, that are intimate. Now, those masail that are meant for women, I can't go and pass it on directly to women. You need a woman to go and pass it on to a woman. But then the woman must be such that she can grasp it very well. And if she can't grasp it very well, how is she going to pass it on? So she makes out that Nabi Sallam is not satisfied for some reason, and he's not happy. He's coming, he's returning from the safar, and as he's about to enter, and there's some sign of dissatisfaction, she's not happy. And because of her affinity, she makes out straight away that Nabi Sallam is not pleased. There's some problem here. And I need to rectify this. What do I do? So now, see how she conducts herself. Now, that's a lesson for all students and all wives right till the end of time. So first she says, Atubu ila Allah. I ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. She doesn't come to her defense straight away. What she says, Atubu ila Allah. I ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. See that humility. Now when you are humble, then you are lovable. But you're not humble, what wrong have I done now? Everything is a problem for you. When are you ever happy with me? When did you ever compliment me? Every small little thing, and you smash me down. So the wife will build an affinity. The student will build an affinity with the teacher, right? When that affinity grows, then the teacher feels it very easy to communicate. But now the teacher wants to say something, but he's got some reservation. Agar kuch kehta hu, to uska dil munqabiz ho jata hai. I say something, he's withdrawn. I don't want him to be withdrawn. I want him to benefit. But if I want to say him something, he's going to be withdrawn. But how do you open up the communication? So the heart has to be open for the communication to progress. The knowledge to progress, the hearts have to be open. So she made sure that she built up this type of an authority. The Nabi Sallam had the right to say her what he wanted, at whichever time. So that is the type of authority that the student needs to have with the teacher, that the heart is absolutely open. Tell me what you want, and you may smash me, you may shout me, you may reprimand me, but pass on that blessing that you have got, just pass it on to me. See, when you got the value for ilm, then you pay any price. But you didn't understand the value, or you heard about the value, but you didn't grasp it fully, then you're not at the position of making that sacrifice. But you understood what it is, now anything comes, I'm going to pay for it. I know, I understand what it is all about. So her first response is a response of humility. Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me, I wronged, right, do forgive me. Then the second response is, Atubu ila Allah wa ila Rasulihi. And I ask the pardon of Nabi Sallam as well. So why must she ask for the pardon of Nabi Sallam? Because Nabi Sallam is the in between Allah Ta'ala and herself. She's not getting direct from Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Sallam is getting directly from Allah Ta'ala. But who's passing it on? The one that is passing it on is Nabi Sallam. So the one that is in between, he needs to be respected as well. Because if he is respected and he is honored, then his heart will remain open. But if he is not respected, he is not honored, then will his heart remain open? He said, no, but this person will be a little bit apprehensive. If I tell him something, then he will find it difficult to digest it, and then he may be withdrawn. He won't come close. He won't. So then will the teacher be in a position to pass on? He can't pass on. He can't get it across. He wants to, but he can't get it across because he can't be totally free. But if there's an open relationship, and the teacher is just taking, and the child also is taking tremendously, is taking tremendously. Alim Yasab Rahmatullah Alayhi, there was one of those celebrities, you can call him, you know. Celebrity is a wrong name, now they talk all about singers and all celebrities. So he was one of that personality, right? That the Arabs and non-Arabs, everybody respected. He passed away, and they had Salatul Jalasa Al-Ghaib for him in Makkah, Medina, all over the world, right? So he was so loved and respected, right? So then he attributes his excellence to one, two things. But one of the things that he attributes excellence to is this, that when he was a young child, you look at his articles. Articles are too excellent, too beautiful. Universities, schools, everybody used them, right? Every madrasa, I think, used his articles, be it Arabic or non-Arab. Now imagine a non-Arab is preparing articles, but at such a level that they are using it in the universities, so eloquent. The standard is so high, they're using it in the universities. So he must have been of a good standard for them to use his works in the university. But then where does he attribute his excellence? He acquired all this, but where did he get it from? So he says, when I was very young, 10, 11, 12 years of age, and my teachers had taken a liking for me. Now, when a person is being loved, then he's envied as well. Sometimes the teacher doesn't realize that he's being envied. If the father likes one child more than the other, it's all right, he likes him, but he mustn't show it too much. You see, there was one murder and one attempted murder that's reported in the Quran Sharif. The basis of the murder and the attempted murder was envy, jealousy. The first murder that took place because of jealousy. Why is he so successful? Why is he the favorite, right? And why am I not? So, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكْ I'll kill you. And he killed him. And then there was an attempted murder, Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers. It's an attempted murder. Right? So one is a murder, one is an attempted murder, but if you look at the calculus, the basis was envy. So I tell my friend, but if you love someone, your son, whatever it is, then do it in private, don't do it in public. Because if you do it in front of everybody, then he'll become a target of everybody's envy and jealousy. They say hasad, they say no, someone made nazar, and someone did this, and someone did this. But why did you have to go display all every in front of everybody? Right? So Mu'alimah Sabrahman said, because I was liked by the Ustaz so much, so therefore I became envied. And I became envied now. So now people wanted some excuse, some pretext to smash me down in the presence of my ustad. Somehow the liking that he's got, the special attention he's giving me, he's teaching me, he's tutoring me, in his own time he's tutoring me. Now the special attention that the ustad has got for me, how do we need to sever this? The only way you can sever it is make some allegations against Maulana. And why is about 10, 11 years of age, innocent at heart, he doesn't know what's happening in the world. They went and made a false accusation. This man here, this person is his youngster, he acts so innocent in your prison, but out of the madrasa, he's a handful. He's doing this musti, that musti. Now the ustad had such a liking for him, and he couldn't believe that this student of mine could misbehave like this. So he went and racked him, black and blue. In the meanwhile, the news had filtered to his mother that this would happen. So now, he had steamed to himself, my mother is going to ask me, how am I going to answer? He said, release this to my mother, because my mother is already widowed, and if she's going to hear this, she's going to feel very hurt. And perhaps she may have a change of intention, she'll move me from one teacher to the other teacher, and I know myself how I am benefiting here. I can't move away. I will lose the attention of my ustad, I will lose his duas, and I'll be a lost thing. Lost in the pages of history, I'll be lost. So, my mother did question me. So, he replied to his mother, Ma, sabka sunte rehna. People talk, man, just forget what they say, they just pass rumors. They hear half, they report half. They don't give right information, so don't worry about them. So, I blocked my ustad, I continued. In the meanwhile, the ustad discovered that he did me right wrongfully. And he was so sorrowful about it, so apologetic. And I reassured him, you've got all the right to do what you want. I'm at your feet, I'm your slave. Whatever you have done is your blessings. And right till the end, I will maintain this level of respect. Now the ustad's heart opened up even further for him. See this communication, the heart was open out. When there's a marriage and there's an open communication, there's a good, easy, healthy communication, then the marriage is successful. But the husband is apprehensive, the wife is reserved. I say, do they enjoy a good relationship? They can't enjoy, no matter how much they would try, but they won't enjoy that relationship as compared to both are open, the communication is at a very high, healthy level, right? So Aisha understands that Rasulullah Rasam is the deputy, he's representing Allah Ta'ala. And when he's representing Allah Ta'ala, I need to respect him and honor him. The judge, the magistrate is respected. Why is he respected? Because he's representing the state. If you are going to disrespect him, you say contempt of court. Why? Because this contempt amounts to the contempt of the law, of the state. So they take it very seriously. So he's representing Allah Ta'ala, and I need to respect him. I can't allow that relationship to be severed. So she's understanding all, she's young, maybe 16, 14 years of age at the time, 15, 16 years. But how intelligently she conducts herself, how intelligently. So she says, I ask Allah Ta'ala's pardon, and the pardon of his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? She's, now the communication is opened out. But now she's also securing herself for the future, because she doesn't want to stumble in the future. Now I brought some type of displeasure to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I don't want a repetition of this. Once I've done it, now I don't want a repetition of this. But in the meanwhile, I don't know what's the problem. So when I don't know what's the problem, now I was asking. You know, she could have reversed the whole thing this way. She could have said, "Ma ghaznabtu," and then said, "Atubu ilallah." So tell me what's the problem. And then she could say, "Astaghfirullah." Tell me what's the problem. But see how she conducted herself. So beautifully. She's asked Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and she asked me some pardon, and thereafter said, you know, "Ya Rasulullah, I don't want a repetition of your displeasure. It's too much for me. Your pleasure is the world for me, and your displeasure, I don't want it for a second. I can't tolerate your displeasure. But Ya Rasulullah, tell me, so that I don't have a repetition." See that? So on the student side, when there's going to be a problem, how is he going to respond to it? First, the student needs to have the type of a rapport with his ustad, with his teacher, with his senior, So the communication is clear. When the communication is clear, the ustad is giving his best, he's giving his heart, he's giving everything to him. Right? So what the student must achieve, what he must get, how you get the maximum. You are in the path, you want Allah Ta'ala, and you want the best for yourself, right? You want the best in the akhirat. How do you go about achieving the best? Here it was, in one case I showed, it was a total mistake of the ustad, but how the student conducted himself. And the other was where the student made a mistake, but how she had conducted herself. See? Now you get a third situation. Third situation is where you can see that the student is not so close, right? He's got some relationship, but he's not so close. But not so close, now how to get him right? Mari mari Musliman banavana. Shambhaki make a Muslim. Do you do that? Then how do you make the person right? Now that is the third situation we've got. One is I showed you where the student knows I need to have the rapport. He values that, he appreciates that, he can give everything just to maintain a relationship. And one is, you can see now that student hasn't yet built up that rapport with the ustad. Now how is the ustad supposed to be conducting himself? How must he conduct himself? Must he say to himself, no, this person now, he can go to flag height. He needs me, I don't need him. He has come to the well. I don't need to go to him. Must he conduct himself like that? The idea is that we are all the ummah, right? And when we are the ummah, then if we are behaving right, if the right reports are coming from the Bism, won't it bring about a cheer in his heart? And we looked favorably to his ummah, look for a plan. This man is weak, now he needed the support, right? He needed some type of a support to pick him up. And then won't the Bism be pleased with all this? Alright, he needed a support. We understood the man and we took him accordingly. Won't it please him? And we smashed the person down. He got lost. He became even more stubborn in his ways. Then what would happen to the other Nabi Sassam? Now, is the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu used to receive one Shami, Syrian, right? Very good, noble chief of the entire area. And for some time that person stopped coming to Umar radiallahu anhu. He used to be coming frequently, regularly, he used to come and visit Umar radiallahu anhu. However, sometimes he's not visiting Umar radiallahu anhu. He's always got worried naturally, but this man used to be coming quite regularly. What happened to him? Why is there a severance? What happened to him? So one person that was around, he says to Umar radiallahu anhu, Ya Amir al-Mu'min, uska to poocho hi mat. Don't even ask about him. He has gone into drinking and whatever, like how we have drugs. He has gone into this, he is gone now. He's a goner, this person here. You know, a drug case, I was asking someone, the rehab, you know, what percentage of recovery you get, you know. Since many of the drugs, you get about 1%, 2% recovery. 98% is a relapse. Now this person is into alcohol, and he's so deep into this, that it's like virtually impossible for him to come up. So anyway, when Umar hears about this, now what he does? You can see that this person is not of the first category, that he's got such a great relationship. He's of the second category, he's got a relationship, but not to that level. Doesn't have it to the level of an authority. But now I need him to come on again. Must I just discard him, or must I look for a plan how to get him on? What do I do? So Umar radiallahu anhu, he's thinking, you see, when you got the talab, it will make you do all these type of things. You need to create the talab, that love in your heart for that thing, that will make you do everything. Then you don't need to be told. You got the talab, you got that yearning, it will make you do things. So now how must I do this, how must I do this? Step by step, I need to have a workshop now today, tomorrow workshop. Right? I don't say it's wrong. But that so many of workshops is because you don't have that level of talab and fikr. When you got the fikr and talab, it will make you do things. It will teach you itself. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked for a letter, wrote out a letter, and gave it to one person. Go and deliver it, hand deliver it. No second, third person, go and hand deliver the letter. and you give it to him when he's sober, and you give it to him personally. Don't give it to someone to pass it on to him, you give it to him personally. So that was one thing. On this side, around him with other Sahaba Kiram, etc. So he said, let's make dua for this person. Right. Made dua for him, cried, made dua for him. Now this person, he received a letter. When he received a letter, he's talking to himself. He says, in this letter, I have been warned, but I have been also shown the grace and the compassion of Allah Ta'ala. If I have been warned for the wrongs that I'm doing, the irregularities that I'm doing, I've been also been reassured about the mercy, about the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. It's not just a one-way traffic, only warning, or not just a one-way traffic, just forgiveness, only reassurance of forgiveness. No. Both warning and a reassurance. So both, if you know, carry on, there's going to be a problem. But the gates of forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala are always open. Come through, the gates are open. It's never locked. Allah never locks those gates. As long as you are alive, Allah Ta'ala keeps those gates open for you all the time. So come in, follow the procedure, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, beg Him, and He will wipe you out clean. So he's reading the letter once, and the second time, and by the third time it was too much. He's had, the tears just began to stream out. They see after that, there wasn't a person that was as averse to alcohol and all these things here, like this Syrian. It was so averse. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard the report thereafter, then he says, فَكَذَلِكَ فَفَعْلُوا وَلَا تُعِينُوا الشَّيْطَانَ عَلَىٰ أَخِيكَ. This is how you must conduct yourself. Don't you go and support shaitan against your brother. You could have had an attitude, scold him, reprimand him, shout him, break him and bust him. You could have done all that, right? And the other way was this way. We had a smooth, nice way, approach of handling the situation. We understand that he's not of the first category, he's of the second category. How do we deal with him? How do we work with him? And when we did this, now what a mountain of a change we brought to his life. Where he was, where I say, you know, when you get this type of cases, there's always a relapse. Man is so averse to what he does, doesn't know take the name of it. What won his heart is the approach, the dua, the love that was shown. See, so you're going to get this type of cases. One is of the first class, one is of the second class. The teacher needs to identify this student, which class does he belong to? This student, which class does he belong to? Now he's got the picture right. But he doesn't study the student, and straight away he wants to be firm, impolite, aggressive, hard. Is it going to bring any good results? Maybe for that short duration he's going to see some results. But every day he's going to bring some aversion to the heart of the child. Man, as much time as school, see again. I can't leave this place because my parents want me to be here. But now I have to come back into these confines, constricted, listen to the person, get some smashing and hiding. So you see how the child's heart becomes averse towards deen, towards education, towards talim. See? But the same ustad, if he's just turned around, and how, what a difference he can make in the life of the student. As Mawla Siddiq Sahib Rahmatullah says, one student came to him, perhaps it was some Bengal or Bihar, these poor states of India. So that student fell seriously ill, very, very seriously ill. And Mawla is worried, he heard about the student and he's fallen seriously ill. So he went, made namaz, and in sajda is crying, O Allah Ta'ala, if a life has to be taken, then let it be Siddiq's son. What? This child has come, he is an amanat in my hand, his parents will be eager to see him, right? Right? His parents will be eager to see him. So O Allah Ta'ala, restore his help. If a life has to be taken, Allah, just shift it away from the child and move it to my own child. You see, the man whose eyes have opened out, he's got the understanding of deen, he knows the value of things, he can pay such a price. Can you pay such a price? Can't pay such a price. You can pay a price when you know what you're going to get at the end. Now Mawla comes back to the home and he hears that this child that was sick, he's just recovering very quickly, and his child is deteriorating. And moments the child passed away. See that? But you see now, when your view about the hereafter is so clear, then you can make that sacrifice. The level of sacrifice can be made when the picture of Jannat is so clear. You can see your Cadillac there. You can see the Ferrari there, right? You can see the Porsche there. And overall, you can see that child that passed away, you can see in Jannat as well. Everything is so vivid, so clear, so graphic picture, right? The child is there, the Ferrari is there, the Porsche is there, everything is there. You see everything. Then you can pay that price. But if the picture is not so clear, then I lose my child, everything is lost, there's no light for me at the end of the tunnel, what must I look for thereafter? Now that is not supposed to be coming out from the lips of a Muslim. At the end of the tunnel is light, roshniya, at the end is only light, for the kafir is only darkness. Allah Akbar.